T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. We're going to go to your calls. We're going to go to Don in Bristol next. Morning, Don.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I called in last week, and I had a problem with my all-in-one computer shutting down.
Okay.
It wouldn't start. Well, anyway, you thought maybe it was a heat problem.
I did.
But I tried the blowing. I took the thing apart and blew it air into the back and got the dust out and everything.
Good.
But anyway, it still was a problem.
Okay.
So I finally got into the safe mode.
Yeah.
And it gives you the option of starting with a disk or a USB drive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I remember when I first loaded Windows, I made a USB drive.
Yep.
Recovery disk.
Yeah.
So I put that in.
Nice.
Started up. I haven't had a problem since.
So you put the recovery disk in, and now you're booting up off of that? Whoop, Don, you there?
I think we lost him.
Aw, man. He was waiting for... His phone was cutting out. You there, Don? Ugh, I think we lost him. Well, it sounds good. I'm glad it worked out for you. I'm glad it wasn't the heat issue. But it sounded like he put the recovery disk in, maybe ran the recovery, cleaned up his drive, and now he's booting cleanly. His phone just died on him. That's good news. I'm glad it worked out for you. Sometimes you wonder if people are going to call. You guys told me to do this, and it didn't work. I want to file a complaint. We're going to give him his money back.
We'll give him double his money.
Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Al in Weathersfield next. Hey, Al.
Hi, Eric.
Hey.
I've been hijacked on Google Chrome.
Oh, no.
But I can use Internet Explorer.
Okay, so your Chrome browser has been hijacked, so it goes someplace you don't want to go when you boot up. Okay. You can just clear the cache, and that should take care of it. Have you gone in to clear the Chrome cache?
No, I don't know how to do that, but I'll find out. Okay.
Yeah, we'll put a link up for you as to how to clear your cache in Chrome, and that it's probably all that's going on there because it's not occurring during your other browser usage, so that should take care of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'll put a link up there for you.
Clear the cache. Huh?
You want to clear the cache out of your Chrome. Now, are you running OpenDNS?
I don't know what that means.
Then you're probably not.
Okay.
We can put a link up there for that as well because you got hijacked because of where you surfed. You surfed somewhere.
Right.
That did this to you, and it was a malicious site that you ended up surfing to by accident or on purpose. And if you use OpenDNS, basically it's a safer information superhighway. So instead of going on Al Gore's wide open Wild Wild West highway, you're going to go on Al's super safe highway, and you won't be as apt to be hijacked. So
OpenDNS. Huh?
Yeah, we're going to put a link up to that. It is free. And powered by Cisco. It's pretty amazing stuff. And it'll keep you safer on the internet. And anybody in your network, if you put it on your firewall, it'll keep anybody who comes into your network, if you've got family coming in there using your Wi-Fi, they'll also be on the Al Safer Highway.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Al.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye. So clear that cache. Don in Bristol's back. Hey, Don, you there?
Yeah, my phone went dead, so I had to switch phones.
I was going to say, it did sound like it was starting to cut, and then you just went dead on
you. Yeah, digital phone, so it's the thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was talking about the I got into the safe mode.
Right.
And I put the recovery disk in.
Yeah, and you ran the recovery?
Recan recovery.
There we go.
Everything has been fine.
Good. So you had some sort of problem with the operating system that was killing it.
Right.
All right.
And, that's you know, the lady you had on earlier.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she had, has a recovery disc, but she might want to give that a try.
She might, but hers sounds so much more worse than yours, but it could work. In her case, she couldn't even do a backup, so that tells us that the drive is probably deteriorating. But yeah, hey, Don, I'm glad it worked out for you. Your system must have been pretty scrambled for it to actually do what it was doing, shutting down randomly. So
yeah, I was trying to figure out why that would happen, but I don't know, maybe when the Windows updates did something to it. Or
maybe. And you did blow out all the dust, so the heat issue should be taken care of if there is ever a heat issue.
Right.
So, hey, Don, thank you for the information. We're glad it worked out.
But in the meantime, I had already ordered another computer.
Well, how old was the old one?
This one is 5 years old.
Okay. Well, nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got it through committee, right? Now you got to get a nice fast machine.
Yeah, I ordered a little faster one.
Very good, Don.
Okay.
Thanks for the update.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's interesting that a recovery disc would solve his issue of it just randomly shutting down like that, but I'm glad it did. Let's go on to Dorothy in Litchfield. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi. I have a question about an external drive. I was hearing how the person didn't have a backup.
Yeah.
And we bought a backup, and I don't know how to format it. I have an Apple, and I didn't, and it's for, you could do an Apple or you can do a PC, but I'm not sure how to format it. And then I have a second question. When my daughter has an external drive that she had on her old PC, and now she has an Apple, and she doesn't know how to format it to make it go, the work to go onto the Apple that she has on the drive. Do you have any idea how to do any of that?
So Apple has a good backup tool. I think it's called Time Machine or Time Capsule. Time something.
Time Capsule.
Mine is full.
Yeah.
And so what it does is it knocks off old stuff. But what I wanted to do is I have thousands of photos, and I wanted to just separately put them on an external drive so not to lose them ever.
Okay. So when you plug the external drive in, we're not big Apple users, but when you plug it in, do you see it as a drive letter?
Yes. Well, I see it as my passport comes up.
Okay. And can you navigate to it using whatever Apple navigation tool so you can actually see the drive?
I see the drive.
Okay, good. All you need to do then is make a directory, an Apple directory of some kind called Dorothy's Pictures. And then you should go to where your pictures are in the Apple device. And do a copy and paste. Again, I don't know if that's how it works with Apple. As far as copying and pasting, I assume it's a similar function of moving data around. But all you want to do is just do a copy from one directory on your C drive within the Apple system over to this new drive letter. And however that copy process works, boom, it'll just copy over if you have enough space on that drive. You shouldn't have to do anything if it sees it. Have you tried any kind?
I'm not even that far. I'm where it comes up with, it's a new drive.
Yeah.
So I've not, I put on for the apps for Mac, and it comes up with some different things, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make it
a drive.
Open up.
Well, you don't have to open it up. I mean, you should
It just comes up with the menu for what the drive would be. But like it says, Ben Extras, User Manuals, WD Apps for Mac or for Windows.
Right. You don't want any of that stuff. You're not using any of those tools. You're just going to do a simple copy and paste.
But I can't get to that. This is all that comes up. I must not have set it up yet. So
how would I
copy and paste?
Well, I guess it's something called Finder.
Okay.
Do you know how to use Finder?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So Finder's like Explorer for Windows. So you're going to go into your Finder, and can you find the drive letter, which is the new drive you plugged in? I'm assuming it's a drive letter. Maybe it's a object of some kind.
Okay.
Let's see. But you do have to format, I guess, the drive using the Apple Disk utility.
Well, that's what I was wondering, how to format it.
Okay. We can put a link to the Apple Disk utility. You do have to format that device, that drive when you put it in there, and that way it'll be part of the Apple file system. It's probably going to be a default Windows file system.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So that's going to be through the Apple Disk utility. And okay. Well, then you format that new drive. Make sure you don't format your primary. Make sure you be comfortable with where you're formatting. And then you're going to do a simple copy and paste from where your pictures are now to this new formatted drive. Okay. We can post instructions for you on Computer Talk.
That'd be great. Yeah. What about if you already have, like my daughter has her external drive with all her work on it and from a PC, and now she has an Apple and she can't transfer it. Is there a way to do that?
Well, again, it's formatted in a Windows format, so it probably is the reverse problem in that she can't see it because it's a Windows drive. I've never connected a Windows-based formatted system to an Apple to tell you exactly how to do that. There might be ways of doing that. We could try to find instructions as well. Now, she could also put it to a cloud-based intermediary where she could take that drive, plug it into her Windows system, and copy it to, you know, the Apple Cloud Drive or a Google Cloud Drive, and then bring it back down to her Apple device. But I bet you there's easier ways. I've not done it, so I would have to look it up. And being that I'm not an Apple user, it's like it's a little foreign. But we probably should be able to find instructions as to how to do it the other way.
That would be
but
great.
The cloud is a good way to transfer stuff.
Yeah.
As long as she doesn't mind it being in the cloud, that's the other issue.
Do you know how to – can you format a drive that you can use it either way? Like if I copy everything onto this with an Apple format and I want to use it for
Windows.
For a regular PC, is there a way that it can be for both at the same time?
Well, darn it, that would be handy.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, but Apple and Windows – even though Microsoft saved Apple from bankruptcy many, many, many years ago, people forget this, they are two different ecospheres. So it's not they don't like to play in the same sandbox. If it was the case already, Apple should have been smart enough to see your Windows-based formatted drive and say, okay, I'll use it. It turns out that, I'm hearing from Mike, who's also a Mac user, that you can format the drive as a FAT32. Now, I didn't know that. If you format the drive in a FAT32 format, both Apple and Windows will see it. I learned something today.
Okay. Could you find a link for that for me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
We'll put it up there for you. So you can do it. But I always thought they were fighting with each other.
Most thumb drives and USB drives come originally formatted as FAT32.
Mm-hmm. Aren't there going to be size limitations, though?
There's no, not really.
No.
But where you have your limitation is that you know you don't have the permissions and what have you on the removable drives that you would have in a Windows format.
All right, good. So there's your answer. If you format the drive using that Apple Disk Utility as a FAT32, it'll go both ways.
Okay.
But we'll try to find some links there for you.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
you guys are great.
Well, I've learned something today, too. Thankfully, we all work as a team here.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dorothy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. But a lot of times between Apple and Windows, there is a kind of a headbutting between the ecospheres there. So we'll put the links up there for you. I'm sure all the Apple users driving in the car are saying, of course you can do it, Eric. What the hell? Come on. You know, don't you know this? No, I'm sorry. I don't. In our client base, we have roughly 400 plus businesses that we support and way beyond 6,000 computers. And in the entire base of systems that we support for our customers, there's probably 20 Macs. So we don't see a whole lot of them. I think, Matt, we used to actually talk about the operating systems, right, Bob, as far as the percentages out there? I mean, Apple Mac is still a tiny little percentage.
Let me see if I can find that.
We'll have to go to a break, or Matt's going to get mad at us. But we'll find that coming back. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. One more Bernstein for you. 100 years old today. And a little more information. There are some limits on the size. I thought there were with FAT32 that she might run into. Largest file size is about 4 gigs. That shouldn't be an issue. Partition sizes could be a limit, though. She might be limited to a 32-gig partition, which might be a little trouble. We're going to put some links up there for her as far as dealing with using Time Machine. But it may not be as simple as formatting in 32-bit to make it work for her because of the age. And FAT32 is up there as far as age goes. So Hopefully it's going to work, but I got a feeling those bigger sizes might be trouble. What
FAT
do you got,
Bob? FAT32 has been around since Windows 98, I think even 95.
Right, and that's what I'm worried about. And 4-terabyte drives have not been around for that long. So the drive geometry and the operating system is going to be kind of funky. So we'll see. We'll see if we can find a good, happy medium for her. But you definitely can format the drive so that she can use Time Machine, which is a good thing. Time Machine is a great backup with Apple. She simply wanted to copy the files from her old Mac or from her current Mac to a new drive and just disconnect it and put it away. And it might be trouble. There's some other thoughts we're thinking here that we'll put up here as well that'll maybe allow her to do this across both platforms. If you're a Mac user and you know of a way, Mike is suggesting XFAT, which I've never heard of, which might be some sort of intermediary format. Let's go on to Windows 10 question and Stan in Southington. Hey, Stan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a new Windows 10 laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to make it look like Windows 7.
Well, Bob's got an answer for you. You don't?
Yeah, I forget. I haven't used it in such a long time.
Oh, isn't it? It's a Windows 7 skin of some kind.
Yes.
I can't think of the word. We've posted it so many times, and it's been around for so long.
I looked on the website, and I
the archive links. You couldn't find it in the archive links. It's been a while, maybe. There is a way to do it, so it'll look like Windows 7 for you, and we're both drawing a blank on the name of that tool. We're both looking at each other like we haven't had enough coffee this morning. But there is a way to do it. You're going to slap a skin over the top of it that's going to make it look like Windows 7. Now, Stan, eventually, I'm going to tell you this, Microsoft eventually is going to make it so that tool doesn't work. They're going to call it.
I know, because they're going to discontinue support for Windows 7 in 2020.
They are, but they're going to make it just so that you guys can't use the tool that you want to use too. Support is one thing, but you're still using Windows 10, but this is an overlay that makes it look like Windows 7.
Right.
Eventually, they're going to make it not work. They're going to break it on purpose. Go ahead.
Classic shell.
There it is. So it's called Classic Shell, Stan.
Okay.
We'll put a link up for
you. The brain works a little slower than it used to.
Classic shell. That's the skin that's going to go over top.
Okay. What did Bob say?
Classic shell. He said his brain didn't work as fast as it used to.
Okay. I thought he maybe said that the skin will not work as fast as...
Oh, no, it'll work fine. It'll work fine. But eventually it'll stop working. I can just predict that Microsoft's going to make it not work on you. But that's what it is. All right, Stan?
Sounds right.
We'll put a link up there for you.
Thank you very much.
You got it, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11. Mike, hang on. Steve, hang on. We got some more calls coming in. We'll do our best to help you out with the computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And if you have an answer to how to format large hard drives that'll work both in Apple and Windows, that's something we're looking for. Without a limitation, that there might be a limitation that we're going to have to deal with. And we're going to try to find some more information for that. So stick around. Everything we talked about is posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Linked at Facebook. If Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, it'll get to your Facebook feed. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Dr. Alessi's in the green room getting ready to give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that coming up at 11. And we've learned a lot about formatting Mac and Windows this morning, and I've learned more than I care to know. It turns out it's still a big pain in the hiney, but you can do it. FAT32, believe it or not, will support an 8-terabyte partition, but Windows can't make it. Windows can't produce it. You're going to have to use a utility to do it. So the question is, how do we get you that large partition size that she wants? So we've got a Western Digital article that we're going to put up for you that kind of explains what flavors of operating system are kind of cross-compatible based on the partitions that both can see. And it does give us the most information that we think is the best. We'll put some of that up there for her to take a look at, but it's not necessarily that easy to get a large partition size formatted so that you can use it on both systems. But you can do it. It's just not as easy as you'd hope. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Mike in Morris next. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
While I was on hold, you guys answered one of my questions about converting Windows 10 to a Windows 7 skin.
Oh, nice.
But that actually makes another question. If I put Windows 7 skin on a separate user for the same laptop, like aside from the administrator, is that possible to have two different skins, essentially?
I'm not sure whether you can set up different profiles on the skin. I know that you can customize it. I would assume that you could, but I haven't actually tried it. Because, you know, the computer I use is the computer I use. I haven't tried it.
Yeah, you never separated, or no one's ever asked you for two different
flavors. Well, you know, in my house, everybody has their own PC, so, you know.
And in practice, it probably hasn't come up much. I would tell you, though, Mike, So the Windows 7 skin, I think, is a crutch, right?
Right.
And eventually, the boys and girls, are going to make it not work. It's just how Microsoft does their stuff. All of a sudden, stuff magically stops working. And you're going to need to know Windows 10 because, according to Microsoft, that will be the default name for Windows going forward, Windows 10.
Gotcha.
So you may as well start trying to get used to it because it's going to be the common platform until everybody goes over to Android or to something else and punts Microsoft someday, which could happen.
Okay. So my original question was, I'm trying to get my son's laptop to play DVDs.
Okay.
It's Windows 10's based. It's a Dell Latitude
E6400. Okay. Does it have a DVD player?
It does.
All right.
And when I put in a DVD, I get the I'm looking at the screen right now. Under Windows Media Player, it comes up, this disk is empty, and it's a and it's not Blu-ray for sure. It's just a regular DVD.
Okay.
If I go in through, like, my computer and try to LC files, that it's actually reading that something's there, but there's no, like, execution file or anything to run it.
All right.
So is it a driver that I have to download, or?
Well, it could be a number of things. Could be a driver. It could be just a DLL file that you need to install from a third party.
Okay.
Or your drive, are you sure your drive is a DVD and not a CD?
Yes, it's coming up as reading a
So it does say DVD on the little slot that pops out. Are you sure it's a DVD player? So he can read the data.
Let me look at it right now. Yeah, it says DVD.
Okay. So I also, it could be Microsoft's media player stinks. I hate it.
So
get a third-party DVD movie player.
What I would recommend you to do is you install a third-party software, and I'm going to give you a recommendation called InfraRecorder.
I-N-F-R-A. Yep.
We'll put a link up for you.
Great.
And it'll actually install some of the files that you need in order to be able to read additional files and formats.
Okay.
That could work. Yeah, and we'll try to find also another just a straight third-party DVD player.
Sure.
Because it's all software-driven now. And Windows Media Player is going to want to talk back to the copyright holders and make sure everything's legitimate. And there's so many roadblocks to running Windows Media Player. It's almost useless these days.
Okay, I really appreciate it. And forgive, you know, it sounds like a basic question, but I live in the Mac world most of the time.
Yep.
And when I go to PC, I know just enough to really screw it up.
I hear you. I'd be the same way if I had to go to a Mac world.
Yep.
So I completely relate to that. And so yeah, we'll put some information out there for you. It shouldn't be this hard to play a DVD in the year 2018, should it?
Yeah, I hear you.
Just plop the thing in and run, right? No.
Exactly.
It's all software, and Microsoft's Media Player is a big pain in the butt.
Okay. I thank you for your time.
You got it, Mike.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, that infra might work. Is there another media player we know out there that we could play just straight DVDs?
There used to be one that came with, and I forget
like
what
Power
it is.
Something, Power DVD or something like that.
Well,
we'll find
that works too. The point is there's a DLL. It's a Microsoft DLL that they don't install in their own, operating system. So you get the third party, you put it in there, it gets in there, and then you can read all sorts of formats that you can't ordinarily read.
Yeah, I wonder if Well, this actually seems like it might work. It'll burn, erase, fix. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I've been using it for quite a number of years.
And you can play DVDs with it?
Yeah, and you can record and whatever, but that's, you know.
That might work.
You can export or you can read zip files and ISO files and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then record them. You can change the format from an ISO. You can burn it so you can make it into a usable DVD.
Nice. Sounds good. Let's go to Steve in Winstead next. Hey, Steve, what's up? Steve, you there? Uh-oh. Maybe put Steve to sleep. Steve going once. Steve twice. No, Steve. I'll put him on hold. He's been waiting there long enough. I want to make sure he gets a chance. Let's go to Craig in East Hampton. Hey, Craig.
Oh, good. Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Our pleasure.
Hey, I recently got rid of my rented Comcast modem slash router.
Yeah.
And I got a you know, standalone DOCSIS 3.0 modem.
Nice.
And a router.
All right.
And what happens is I keep getting knocked off of my internet. And what I do is I run the network troubleshooter, and it fixes the problem. But it's gotten rather, it's happening a lot, like three times yesterday morning. And what it comes up with is the problem that's found is that the Wi-Fi doesn't have a valid IP configuration. Is that something, because I'm running, I have two notebooks. One is running Windows 10 and the other one's running 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening to both of them.
All right.
And is that something that's in my system, or is this something that's related to the modem or the router?
All right. I think it's your DHCP configuration in your router, but Bob has a thought too. What do you think, Bob?
Well, yeah, it's going to be DHCP. Do you have only one? Is your Wi-Fi and your router the same unit?
No.
Okay. I would check and see that the DHCP is turned on one and turned off on the other. Because I think what's happening is when you have more than one DHCP server in the same network,
right,
they tend to fight.
So what's your Wi-Fi, Steve? Greg. What device is doing your Wi-Fi?
I'm on 2.4.
What device is it? Is it an ASUS? Is it a, what is it?
Linksys, Cisco.
What device is doing it?
You mean as far as what is my router?
Oh, so it is on the same device. Is your router handing out Wi-Fi?
My router is a Tenda. My modem is a TP-Link DOCSIS 3.0.
Okay, so that's all you have is the two devices. You don't have a third device handing out Wi-Fi.
That is correct.
Okay, that's cool. We got to the bottom of it. That's good. So within your router, that device has a DHCP service that hands out IP addresses to the devices that are going to connect to your network. We think, or at least I do, that you have set that DHCP service too small, or your leases are too short. You might have only handing out 5 IP addresses, or something's wrong with how you're handing out your IP addresses, and your devices are losing the lease. There's no more addresses to hand out, and you get knocked off. So if you go ahead.
Am I better off calling the manufacturer of the router at this point and having them walk me through this? I'm really not that savvy.
Okay, well, this is not too hard, but you can, of course, call the manufacturer if they're not going to charge you an arm and a leg. But if you go and Google DHCP configuration on that make model router, there's probably a YouTube video that'll walk you through it.
Okay.
But you want to do is you want to set enough of IP addresses, let's say 50 addresses or 25 addresses for a home. And you want to set those addresses to start at maybe 25. So 192.168.1.25 up to 50 or whatever number you want to choose.
Okay.
And it'll hand out addresses to your devices. Below 25 will be your static things like printers or what have you.
What model is your TP-Link?
That's the modem. What model is your router?
The router is a Tenda N300.
Never heard of it. A Tenda?
Oh, I thought you said TP-Link.
That's his modem.
Right, okay. TP-Link is the modem.
Yeah. I've never heard of the router you chose. Go ahead.
Well, that was someone that's in the industry. You know, he actually had one and gave it to me.
I wonder why he gave it to you, Craig. Was he having trouble with it?
Well, you know, the other thing is that now that you bring up the other, you know, the addresses, I have a printer that is connected to the router via a, you know, it's wired.
Nice.
And I occasionally run into problems with that also. So this all seems to be.
Yeah, he gave you some piece of junk.
Okay.
He's not a friend. No, I'm just kidding. Either get his butt over there to default that router and set it up the right way for you and ask him to configure OpenDNS on it and give him a beer or two. Or, okay. Or buy a new router yourself and ask him to come over and configure it for you because he caused you so much trouble with this thing. You can buy you can go to any big box store like Staples or what have you and get a more mainstream. I've never heard of the router you just talked about, but you can pick up an Asus or a Linksys. These are all good Cisco type brand routers out there.
Sure.
And you'll get more help from
Motorola.
Motorola's got a router now too?
Well, yeah, of course.
Motorola?
They don't always call them Motorola.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, get his butt over there for you, Craig, because he gave you a faulty piece of equipment, I think, or he has an old configuration on there that's causing all sorts of trouble for you because he didn't default it before he gave it to you.
A separate wireless and a separate router.
He doesn't.
Okay.
It's all right. Built in.
There was a phone call between him and the manufacturer when he set this up anyway, so
yeah.
I think that's probably what I need to do is just go out and get a new router.
How long has he been in the business?
How long is he?
Yeah. I'm trying to judge whether or not he was selling sneakers last week and then gave you this router, or if he's been in the business a long time.
He works for a...
A big company?
He works for a big company begins with...
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Get him over to help you. Get him over to help you either punt that router and get a new one that's just more standard and configured because there's something wrong with that thing.
Okay. That sounds good because it's getting very aggravating. Hey, thanks a lot for your help, you guys.
You got it, Craig. Our pleasure.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Sometimes a gift of technology is not a gift.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, you got to think of is how much is the frustration factor worth to you? So yeah. This TP Doxis
that's the modem.
Cable
yeah.
modem
yeah.
is $40.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's working. I've never heard of the router, and I can't even remember the name he gave it as far as the make and model of that router. I've never heard of it, and we've been around for a long time doing this stuff. So it's probably either a very high-end router that's got more configuration than he needs causing this problem, but he'll go out and get something else. That's what I'd recommend. So we're going to take a quick break, get back to more of your calls. Steve in Winstead's back. Hang on, Steve. We'll get to your call after the break. Three lines open for you. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. We are back, yes. Leonard Bernstein, 100 years old today. And we used all the Leonard Bernstein bumps we could think of. Matt spinning the hits.
We didn't do West Side Story.
We didn't. It's probably before Matt's time. He did Candide, though. I mean, got to give him credit. He did Candide. All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Steve in Winstead. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Bob.
Morning. Sorry we didn't get you last time. You weren't there, so.
I tell you, you know what? E.T. has a better chance spawning than I do.
Well, what can we do for you, sir?
Well, I heard something that on the radio.
Yeah.
That just seemed so outrageous. I said, I got to call Eric and Bob on this.
Yeah.
It involved Facebook. Now, what they're looking to do is they're in direct talks with banks, supposedly, to share all of the customer's individual transactions.
I know. I talked about this last week.
I missed that.
That's okay. It's crazy.
So, is that possible?
So these dinglings at Facebook want to get in the financial advisory world, and they're going to make deals with banks to track all Steve's transactions so that when you call the geniuses at Facebook and get financial advice, they'll be like, well, Steve, we see you buy potato chips every week, man, and that's not good to buy potato chips every week or whatever they're going to tell you they're going to see based on all these transactions. And they're going to give you financial advice, Steve. Isn't that great?
I don't know if I think that's a good idea.
It's not a good idea. It's horrible. It's horrible. But yes, they want to get into financial advising of some kind. They want to get into dating services. I mean, they can't even keep the Russians off the system. So, I mean, you want these people involved with their banking too? I don't know. I hope the deal doesn't happen. But I did talk about it last week or maybe the week before where they're trying to get financial data, get some sort of deal with banks so they can transmit information about people. Now, maybe they want to anonymize it. Maybe they want to know about all people in their mid-40s who live in Connecticut who have a car loan. Or maybe they're going to anonymize it. But who knows? It's a bad idea as far as I'm concerned.
It's awfully big brotherly.
Well, the banks they need any way to make a buck, right? I mean, Heck, my bank that I use, and I technically love it, charges you $5 to have them do a bank check. I mean, no skin off their nose to do a bank check, but they charge you $5. They'll nickel and dime us to death. And I can't imagine if they see Facebook money coming at them and saying, hey, Facebook will give you X number of dollars if you share every transaction with your customer base, and we promise to anonymize it. I'm sure they're going to bite on that, right?
Oh, I don't see how you can be anonymous with that.
No, I know, but they're going to promise to, right? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's they shouldn't be involved with Facebook, as far as I'm concerned.
Some sort of handshake promise, I see.
Yeah, it's back to the whole social media problem in the first place. They can't keep a lid on our data as it is. If you saw the Cambridge Analytics issue, you saw even when the Obama administration used all the Google information to hit their folks. They're using this technology to remarket back to us, and now they want to talk to the banks and get the financial information. Scary. It's scary as far as I'm concerned, Steve. I assume you're scared too.
Well, I'll tell you what, I only have the radio. That's my only outlook to the whole world. I don't have television, the computer, internets, or anything.
Uh-huh.
Just the radio.
All right. Well, that sounds like you might be limited in your information, but it's a good source, I think, in general.
No, actually, I can get pretty overwhelmed just trying to figure out which station to listen to.
That's true. There are still a lot of great stations out there. So, well,
thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Steve. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of passive, and of course our legislators, these guys who write the laws, are all, you know, they're going to be a decade behind and saying, you know, geez, we probably shouldn't have allowed Facebook to get all that bank data. Well, we should have made a law that said, you know, we need to make sure that they restrict this information, or their penalty is more than what that California law was, where it was like $700 a discretion. Remember, they have that privacy law that they try to model after the Europeans, where the Europeans is like 20% of all sales of your company per transaction or something like that.
Up to a limit of $700.
Well, that was the California law that they are so happy with. So you can see, I'm sure there's some lawmakers out there who are like, you know what, this is probably a bad idea. We should probably make a law that, you know, for every released bit of information, we charge them a nickel or something like that. It's a problem.
Well, I can tell you some of the things that some of the banks are doing that would really scare you.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not go there. It's not,
we're not.
As long as it's technology related. Well, we have no calls right now, so I'm going to bring up a quick news story because I know we're coming to the top of the hour. Bob found this. Microsoft is reportedly facing a bribery probe in Hungary. The Wall Street Journal has reported this on Thursday. It turns out that the Justice Department and Securities and Exchange Commissions are investigating how Microsoft sold software such as Word and Excel at steep discounts to an intermediary in Hungary that then sold the products to government agencies in 2013 and 2014 at near full price. And they're talking about the fact that it looks like the middleman companies were paying the government officials kickbacks to purchase the Microsoft software. And that's why it was sold at such a high price. So we'll put this link up here. You can read the story. I think I read a story recently where, like, every £5 are spent in England, one of them is going to Microsoft. So they're definitely consolidating their power over there. But we'll put a link, and you can take a look at it. But it looks like this could be a problem for Microsoft in Hungary. come on, guys. If you can't sell your software the right way, you really got to bribe government officials. I wonder if that's happening elsewhere. Nah. We want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Everything we talked about was posted live by Mike G. He posted it live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the old-fashioned website. And everything will be there for you. Nobody can filter it. Nobody can stop it. If you want to go to the Facebook site, if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, we'll post those same links in our news feed, and maybe, just maybe, they'll get to your news feed if Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy. Of course, we'll be there as well on Twitter. And if you follow us at Tab Computer Sys, and again, if Twitter deems it worthy, it'll get to your news feed as well. So I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Matt for producing. Happy birthday to Leonard Bernstein, 100 years old today.
See you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.